Welcome to the Inside Out podcast, a podcast brought to you by ISMB and SMNO alumni. Fantastic to have you listening in today. My name is Rafael, a current ISMB student.
And I'm Peter, a lecturer at ISMB. And today we are joined by Sanne de Ruyter, an ISMB alumna. Sanne will talk about her experiences at school, amazing adventures at work, and her future. Welcome, Sanne, to the Inside Out podcast.
Yeah, thank you. Nice to see all these familiar faces here.
Cool. You're an ISMB alumna. You studied at the faculty from 2017 until 2021. You were also part of the honors program, entrepreneurship. You studied all over the world. You did an internship in Moscow, and you did your minor in Brazil. And for the past couple of years, you have worked for the football platform 433. Welcome. How have you been?
Yeah, I've been really good. Like I said, really nice to see you guys here again. It brings back some good memories. I've been doing really good, actually.
Cool. So, recapping your ISMB career from 2017 to 21, what stands out in your mind?
The first thing that pops into my mind is definitely the group we were studying with. I think that's something I didn't take into consideration when I was choosing a course. But the group of friends, the different cultures that came together, that definitely made the study for me.
And when you talk about the group, do you talk about your friends group or like all the students all together? Or
well, I think in general, the fellow students around us, it's just the whole energy that was created together was really good. And I'm definitely seeing also a good group of people still that I'm close friends with. They still live in the Netherlands as well, even though they came from abroad. So that's a good thing.
And when you reflect on the group, because I can imagine everybody, you have all these students coming from all over the world. You're Dutchie. We'll talk about that a little bit later. You all join ISMB. But how do you become a group from just a number of people being thrown together? And now you really form a group of friends and fellow students and ISMB alumni. How does that work?
That happened quite naturally, I think. The fact that everyone came from abroad, I think, brought the group very close together because, they moved to the Netherlands. They didn't know anyone here yet, didn't know the city yet. In the first months or in the first quarter of the course, I still lived back in Amersfoort, where I'm from. My plan was to stay there, but I could see how the group got together and how they bonded so quickly. And that was, I think, because they were all from abroad. So that was causing a really strong connection. So I quickly also decided then that I wanted to move to Amsterdam as soon as possible to be part of that group.
And did you move to Amsterdam your second year or was it during the first year?
During the first year, second quarter. So quite soon after the start of ISMB.
So you couldn't wait to get out of Amersfoort?
Oh, well, don't tell my mom it like that.
No, if you're listening, hi, mom.
No, it's a good move to go to Amsterdam, definitely.
Yeah, speaking of ISMB, how did you come about the decision to join this course? Was it your first choice?
It was my first choice. I took a gap year after high school. I was looking for the right course, just like anyone else was looking for a course. And I was looking at different options. And I remember the moment that it kind of clicked for me. And when I saw ISMB, when I read about it online, it was, I remember the quote, it said something like, do you have a heart for sports and a head for business or something? Well, and then everything that was describing the course, I remember sitting down thinking, yeah, that's what I want to do. It was my first choice. I didn't get in though the first try, but I was put on the waiting list, and then a couple of weeks before the introduction week started, they said I actually got in. So I was super happy with that.
Yeah. And what was it specifically about ISMB? Because most students say maybe the internships or the minor or the international experience. Was there a specific element that you really wanted to take advantage of?
It sounds a bit cliche, but definitely the international side of it. Back then I was living in Australia during the gap year, and it was a course that I could enroll in when I was abroad. So there was many Dutch courses that you had to be at the campus physically to enroll or to do the examination. And for this course, it was working quite well because I could do it from there. At that moment, I was still feeling like there's so much more and I want to experience the international side of it as well. So it was a combination of that.
And can you tell me tell us a little bit about the sports side of things? You were triggered by having a heart for sports, right? Mm-hmm. What is your sports background and how did it manifest itself during your ISMB career?
Yeah, I've been always into sports, not even just one particular sport, but I was always interested in participating in different type of sports. During high school, there was a education called sports education. So instead of certain creative subjects, they would take it out and you would have extra hours in school to participate in the sports. So it was always something I was busy with, interested in. I didn't always think I want to work in sports yet at that point. And I think when I got kind of introduced to the world of sports and the different structures of it, the structures within the business side of sports, the high performance sides, the sport development sides, I was like, okay, there's so much more to it and I wanted to learn more about it. So that was a good combination of both participating in sports, which was during the first year still quite accurate. We're doing that quite a lot. And then from the second year onwards, it was more going into the business subjects around the structure of sports.
Okay, wonderful. And we're going to jump back and forth a little bit, but let's start at your current situation, because mm-hmm. you mentioned you never saw yourself working in sports. You're doing some awesome stuff these days. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about your current occupation?
Yeah, of course. So the area I'm working in is sports media. Like you said, I'm working currently for a football platform, 4-3-3. I've got two different roles there. One is in front of the camera, one is behind the camera, so as a host and as a producer. I've been doing that for a while now.
You mentioned the hosting and the producing. Is there a specific video or part of it that you were really proud of?
A specific video in front of the camera, you mean?
Yeah.
There's different types of projects we do. So we either host for a game. For if we go to a game, we don't particularly send or broadcast the match, a football match I'm talking about, but we try to capture everything around the game. So the environment, the fan culture, dive into the club or into the city. Those are some short videos that I show people when I explain what I'm doing. What else? I think around the World Cup, I was working from the Netherlands, but I was hosting or presenting videos that were about facts from previous World Cups. That one, I liked doing because it was a bit longer than, the Instagram stories where we would capture a fan culture during a match. So I would say that would be an example.
Great.
So you mentioned hosting, but also producing videos, editing even. Those are not necessarily skills that are part of the curriculum at ISMB. But can you tell me a little bit about how did the curriculum actually help you develop those skills and what use was it for you?
Within my role as a producer, you need to have a clear structure of your different productions. There's a lot going on a production or a shooting day.
Yeah.
Many small things to take into consideration. Definitely different subjects that played a role within that. Event management, even PPD. I think it was also a lot about structuring your own work. And within the curriculum, there was also the project weeks, obviously. So after every semester, we had a project week. And one was about the sports media mm-hmm. week.
Yeah.
That also helped to get a bit of an insight of how different companies broadcast the game. Or I remember doing an exercise where we had to tweet on Twitter certain updates around a certain game when it was live. So we were all sitting there in a little room typing quickly, like, okay, this needs to go online, this needs to go online. Yeah, just some small projects like that I remember that could be linked to my work now.
Yeah, cool. Awesome.
Yeah, something else that ISMB really focuses on is getting outside of your comfort zone. Is this something that you really took advantage of throughout your ISMB career? Do you have maybe any examples of it?
Many examples where they try to get you out of your comfort zone. Go to Moscow and do an internship there, go live there. And it was, I think within the course, you got a lot of responsibilities by just organizing your own shit, basically. Yeah, you can go abroad if you want, you get the opportunity, but you have to do it yourself. You get help if you need a certain document or structure for it, but it's still all you that has to prepare yourself. We were put out of our comfort zone. The amount of times we had to stand in front of the class to present things, to showcase our projects, to even do sports like in front of everyone. I think those are all examples that, yeah, you can relate to getting out of your comfort zone.
In the end, I think they all help you grow as a person, right?
Yeah, probably. I think moments like that, yeah, for example, if you are on a work floor and you're hosting a meeting, yeah, you also need to be comfortable just to step up and tell what we're gonna do. That was a good practice for it, I guess.
So let's zoom in a little bit on your internship in Moscow, because mm-hmm. This is in your second year, right?
Yeah.
So you're fresh out of Amersfoort. You joined ISMB at that point, I think about a year and a half, right? You're part of the program. How did you get the internship? And once you got there, do you have any specific examples of you experiencing something where you're like, oh, wait a second, this is a different environment, this is a different world I'm entering into, and I need to adjust?
Yeah, well, to clarify, it was a long time ago now. I'm not sure if this internship in Moscow is still a thing. But how I found it, there were so many options to where you could do your internship. You could basically go anywhere in the world. This was before COVID. Anywhere in the world where you wanted to go. Within the process of choosing one, I was first aiming a bit too high. I remember I was like, oh, I want to get experience with the biggest brands or the biggest sports organizations. And oh, in the future, I want to go to the IOC. Maybe I can go there or whatever. Realistically, it was a 10-week internship. So yeah, companies that, they're often not really open, or depends on what you're going to do. But I had to kind of switch my wishes. And I remember Karin, lecturer Karin, coming up to me, mentioning, like, hey, I think you would be a good fit for the Anglo-America school in Moscow. So I was meeting with the supervisor, Kirby, and he had very clear in mind what he wanted us, because I was going with Caroline, wanted us to do what we had to get done. So it sounded very convincing. I was like, okay, we're going to do that. And it was an easy way to say yes, because everything was very clear from the beginning what had to be done. So that was definitely how I got it. And besides that, you asked, I think at one moment I was seeing a different culture, right?
Yeah.
Work atmosphere, okay, yeah. Check. Well, it was an English-American school in Moscow. So it was not that I was working in a full Russian school. Right. So the Russian culture within that school, there was no Russian culture in the school. Right. But as like many of the students that listen to this, I guess, are from an international school, they would know the environment within an international school. That was not something I experienced in my life yet, because I went to school in the Netherlands. Just seeing how that went on a campus like that, how because it was mainly expat families that were going to that school.
Yeah.
Just that whole like world around international schools was so new to me.
Yeah.
How things were organized. I was working in the sports department. How that already, that was a very American thing then, but how huge that was, just the whole sports culture around their regular education.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a good thing to see.
So it was like a culture within a culture almost.
Yeah, exactly. It was it was good and bad things about it because it was really a bubble.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, wow, like some of the expat families don't even go out of this campus. We got lucky to also really experience Moscow. We traveled also by train to different cities in Russia.
Yeah.
But yeah, culture within a culture.
Yeah, awesome, cool.
So this is something you would definitely recommend to people maybe are thinking about joining ISMB or people who are already in ISMB. You would recommend them to go abroad, just experience different cultures.
Yeah, for sure. And within international schools, if you haven't been to an international school, it can be very valuable to experience that as well, especially for 10 weeks because you get a lot of responsibilities. And yeah, well, within ISMB, there is many opportunities you can take to travel. So yeah, when I was in my third year, there was COVID was happening, so it was a bit different back then. But definitely take all the opportunities you can, I think.
Sure. Speaking of opportunities, you also decided to join the honors program.
That's true. I forgot about that.
Long time ago. Can you explain a little bit about the honors program and why did you decide to join it?
Yeah, the honors program was with Michael. We were doing entrepreneurship, like you said. It was a weekly thing, I think, after school. We were sitting together with a group that was interested in entrepreneurship, and we were learning, having different case studies and yeah, really looked into some businesses to see how is it set up, what is the structure of it, can we set up our own projects, how do we do that, what could be the right mindset for you as an entrepreneur, really also the basic steps. Okay, hey, tomorrow I want to set up this project, how do I start, and eventually how do I make money with that. So it was a very interesting thing. Also, that came back obviously in the final semester of year three, where we were doing entrepreneurship. That was a good add-on to the honors program.
And how did you manage that time-wise, because this is in addition to the regular curriculum, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just prioritizing, I guess. Just at that point, I was being quite active, so I wanted to do as much as possible. And it's not that we had school every day either, mm-hmm. so you could really plan that in a way that, yeah, it was definitely quite easy to fit it in.
It's doable if you manage your time well.
Yeah.
Like being a producer.
Cool. I guess.
So you clearly had an entrepreneurial mindset. Is this still something you aim to achieve in the future, a dream of yours?
Well, far future. Right now, I'm really happy in the area I'm in and with the roles I'm doing. I did, after the honors program, set something up myself. So I did work as a freelancer for a bit, which was really nice because I got the experience of how to actually start tiny small business project. But I realized quite quickly after graduating I wanted to learn from a team, learn from others, and the best way for me to do that at that point was to join a company and to learn from them, to get more experience in. And yeah, there's now colleagues around me that have been working within sports media for years, and I enjoy going to work and see how they do things and copy that and then use it in my own work.
So speaking of your work at 433, do I say that correctly or is it 433?
No, it's like the formation 433.
Ah, there you go. I should have figured that out. We have a video that you produced. Am I correct? Yeah.
Oh, I don't know which video. Okay,
so we're about to find out.
This one.
I'm Mike. I'm from South Sudan, 22 years old. My best position is left wing, just like Neymar Jr., my best player. Actually, they used to call me Neymar since back in 2013, before Neymar was signed by Barcelona from Santos. And I was the youngest player in our team, so I was called Junior, exactly. Before I came to Kenya, in the refugee camp, I played for my junior or young club. That was back in South Sudan, in my home country. I had played for 4 years. That was very cool for me.
I really want to be a professional footballer. I'm training hard. Hopefully, one day, one time, I will play for Kenya Premier League. Eventually, I will play for one of the biggest clubs in Europe.
Besides playing for my football club, I normally come here and play at Club Roo, where kids borrow some football equipment to improve their skill. I also do play here to improve my skill at Club Roo.
For our listeners who have not, unfortunately, been able to see this wonderful video, the link will be in the description, and I really highly I recommend that you take a look at it because it's really something to see.
So this video, I was very impressed by it. Can you talk a little bit about the process of how this came about and your role in the production of it?
Yeah, interesting. Actually, this one is big. This was before my work at 43. I was planning, or I wanted to travel in Kenya for a long time already. And this was actually beginning of last year where I had a period that I took off and said, I'm gonna go there. I'm gonna experience the culture. Prior to this, when I was, because it was like a break a bit in between internship and work at 43. Prior to going there, I heard about KLABU, which is the organization that set up this local sports club, basically. This local sports club was set up in refugee camp in Kenya, in northern Kenya, an area called Kalobeya. The whole clubhouse is led by the local community. So everything that happens there is organized by them, by the people that live in the refugee camp. I was so amazed by the whole organization, how it was set up, and especially about the part that it was all led by the people that were from there. So basically, I got in contact with the owner, with Jan again, and I said, hey, if there is any voluntary work I can do for your organization as I'm in Kenya, let me know. I don't know if I didn't even know if they were going to that clubhouse sometimes or not. They are in contact on a regular base. So the Amsterdam KLABU team, they have a store in Amsterdam as well. And the team, the KLABU team, KLABU means in Swahili clubhouse.
Okay.
And the KLABU team within the refugee camp. Their calls are, or their way of working is, okay, what do they need? Is there any organizational skills or tips they want to get from us? And it's really like it works both ways, also the other way around. At that point, they were actually requesting to get involved in the media in a proper way, because the way refugees are portrayed was lacking a lot. Like some commercial groups would come into the camp and write their own script and decide their story. And it was not their story, and they were feeling that, like, hey, we are not online on social media because, some of them didn't have phones either. Some of them did. But, they were not showing or using social media as they wanted to. Mm-hmm. So when I was there, I met up with the team from the refugee camp, and I was actually there with Kier, who also finished ISMB. And we were giving together with the managers at the club within the refugee camp, giving workshops about our experiences, the benefits from social media, but also the dangers of it, and also the basics of how to use social media, how to use the phones and the MacBooks that they had there. So that was basically why we were there. And there was a group of journalists within that school, within the refugee camp, super talented guys. And we spoke about 43 at that point as well. And there was one person, Mike, that you could see on the video, yeah. who wanted to tell his story. So during the workshops, after the workshop, sat down with him, he wrote his story, went through it, and it really came from him, what he wanted to show, instead of all the things that he had been going through, because still you're in a refugee camp. So yeah, it was, the stories, of course, of why people were there from all neighboring countries, from South Sudan, from Ethiopia, the most, very different reasons that were there. He didn't want to go into that. He wanted to go into his love for football, and he loved watching Neymar, and he was sitting there in his house and writing down his skills and like, wow, okay, we can make a little video about this. I only brought a small camera, so it was only like handheld.
Yeah.
But it was a good way of, I'm really proud of the way this video came together and how much it meant for him, for them, the way he could show or tell his own story. So yeah, this is the video you picked out is a video really close to my heart, and I'm happy with that one, even though it doesn't look as professional, but it's I like the way how it came together.
Well, that's, you're being very critical from a professional standpoint, but it's definitely a heartwarming story and a nice video with a very genuine story that you show, because what struck me is that it's actually a very hopeful video. Somebody who has dreams for the future and aspirations. And if you cut out the context of it being a refugee camp, you wouldn't even be able to tell. It's just somebody who loves to play football and has a role model and tries to achieve the highest possible.
Yeah, and it was a great example for me personally to see again what sports can do to a community.
Right.
It's something we keep talking about within our course regarding the sports development sites. And this was a perfect example. This is bringing them joy. This is giving them a certain structure in their lives. They had certain football competitions within and around that camp, high level football competitions.
Really?
Within the refugee camp, you had like several villages that played against each other, but also in the area of Kakuma, which it was in. Mm-hmm. They were all playing against each other, but they were so, how do you say that? Well, it was also their way out for, in a sense, they wanted to achieve the highest as possible and to show anyone that would watch there, like, hey, this is what I can do. And a lot of interesting aspects about this, but it was beautiful how much joy it brought them, for sure.
Yeah, can imagine.
Yeah. You're clearly very passionate about this topic. Is this some type of work that you still want to keep doing in the future, the storytelling about these people?
Yeah, it's the storytelling part is definitely something I try to aim for in my projects, to get aligned to those projects. I've been working hard last half a year to tell a story with the Bundesliga around several communities who want to, well, it was more about the infrastructure and giving them extra fields to play on to be able to practice their talents or to nurture their talents, I mean. So storytelling about topics like this, how it can help communities and the importance for the communities and also the differences within those communities and cultures. Those are definitely stories that I would love to make a few more about, for sure.
Do you have maybe a dream topic that, okay, let's say, you know, let's consider all the possibilities. Budget is not an issue. Time is not an issue. What would be your dream story to tell? Think big now.
Think big. Well, the first thing that pops into my mind that I hopefully get to actually do in, or be part of in a sense is for the Women's World Cup to dive in the different cultures that participate in that World Cup, the story, the talents, for example, within the Moroccan team. Haiti is playing first time this year in the Women's World Cup. And yeah, so many interesting stories to get there. I think the fact that it's women's football is also giving me some extra drive to capture it.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that would be the first one to pop into my mind, I guess.
Wonderful, beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, so you clearly have been a part of a lot of projects, especially with 43, not only behind the camera, but also in front of the camera. This maybe brings you a lot of attention in your professional and your personal life. How is this something that you approach?
What do you mean with attention?
For example, a lot of views, maybe your personal, how do you take care of your personal brand, personal identity?
Oh, I like that. It's an interesting topic. I have a love-hate relationship with, for example, the word influencer. I think within this world, it's important to, if I'm doing a project, I like to also post about it as a kind of portfolio to myself. And I think it's important to kind of be present to show what you're able to do. That's just how it works in this world, to kind of be seen, as weird as that may sound. I'm not really involved with the posting in the process of making a video, so I don't get to see direct likes or comments, which I like this. We do, of course, evaluate and see the overall reaction on a video or how well it did, how many views it got. Yeah, that's part of it as well. Not really something I have to focus on within my role. And yeah, personally, you asked me how I deal with it. I think I'm just really enjoying the creating part of my job. So when I go somewhere, we know what to get, we know what story to capture, and I'm really focused on that. So I try not to think about how many people can see it. I can see the video because it's now, yeah, quite a big amount of followers that can actually watch these videos. But personally, I don't put too much energy in that. I try to also tell myself, like, hey, someone that can see this or comment on it is someone just behind a computer or behind a phone in a sleeping room, and try not to care too much about what he or her is commenting.
Was there at some point, let's say, sort of an aha moment where you realized, oh, shoot, the stuff that I'm making right now, that I'm putting out right now, it's reaching thousands, maybe even millions of people. The scale is really, really big now.
I don't think I got that moment. I really just started this job because I liked doing it, and I really just grew into it. Naturally, I guess it does come within the company. That's what I like. With a lot of people get excited, like if they look at the pace how it grows.
It's sure.
It's nice to work in a company that grows and that everyone is on board. Like, okay, we have this group chat, and then people get excited if they reach a certain amount of followers and they share it. And I don't think I got. One moment. No, I think in general it's nice to know that your story can reach a certain amount of people. So if you, a small example, last night I came back from Leipzig, mm-hmm. and we were making a story about Willy Orban. He's a player of Leipzig, and he recently did stem cell donation, and he missed certain matches within the Bundesliga. No, or telling that story can eventually have a big impact on someone's life if more people do stem cell donations. Or we were filming one particular family that was in need of certain donations because their kid was sick. It's very broad, but knowing that it can help other people is satisfying, and that's a big advantage of the reach you have within this company. So yeah, you know that your story can have an impact, or it can have a follow-up by other organizations if you create a certain story. Yeah.
Right. So you're not about obtaining the largest amount of viewers or likes or whatever, but it's more like you like the large amount of views because it allows you to get the story the right way to the right person at the right time where it can have an impact.
Yeah, your work gets seen then in that way. It's a broad target group, which makes it also difficult sometimes if you want to create a certain story about a certain topic or within, sometimes you get a request from a certain club or league. We have to look at, okay, does this fit our target group? Because it's so broad.
Yeah.
That makes it also difficult. Sometimes it can be nice to work around a certain niche. But for now, in general, yes, it's beneficial that, it can be seen.
Yeah. And I was curious, in your current line of work where you're telling stories, do you have somebody who influenced you, somebody that perhaps is a role model in the business? Like, I really like the way that they share their stories and how they pursue a story.
Well, funny enough, one of my colleagues set this up, but he worked for FI Sports. Mm-hmm. In general, the FI platform, I like their style. I like their way of working. I like the type of stories they're telling. It's a bit beyond the general, or traditional media. So those are videos I watch for inspiration as well. Of course, there's also some people that I'm like, oh, I like the way you're acting. Or for example, I was always a fan of Geraldine Kemper.
Sure.
She had she wasn't ashamed of anything she would talk about. She would just rock it. And I kind of envy that.
Yeah. Is that something that you're striving for? Is it aspirational, or is it more inspirational? Where like, okay, maybe not for me, but it's great to look at.
Oh, good question. Inspirational because she's not working in the same field and doing different things that I would like to do. But I think how when she was young, she would always just say yes to basically anything to get to where she is now. And sometimes, it was more when I just started, and I would be asked to host something, even if it was small for just an Instagram story. I would have to tell myself, okay, like, don't say no because of fear. Just do it, and you will be able to prepare yourself in a proper way, and then just go for it.
Yeah.
So you mentioned this just do it attitude.
Promise work for Nike.
Not sponsored. Is this type of attitude something you would advise the students, current students of ISMB, to take upon in their journey?
The just do it spirit. Yes. Depends. It has to fit also your personality. I think what is really important is I really believe that you're the only one that can kind of map out your own way in your career, in your personal life. So I would say really just follow your gut feeling. I think that when I realized, okay, I can really just say yes or no to things I want to do in life, then it became also, when you're more aware of what you're what you like to do, it's also easier to say no to things you don't like to do. And I think that will bring you eventually to the place that you want to be at. So I guess, just really feeling what's the right thing for you as a person. And also time-wise, you have to see what fits best in your life at that point.
Nice. I was wondering, looking back, since you graduated all the way back in 2021 already, but when you look back at your ISMB career, what are you most proud of that you accomplished during your studies?
I think it's something actually we didn't talk about yet, but I was part of the organizational committee for the new students. And I did that for 3 years, and I spent a lot of time on that, and I felt super satisfied because you're organizing an event for 700 new students. And looking back on it, and also the people that I worked with then, that was fun. And that's something I'm proud of, I guess, because it was kind of taking also what you learned in class and just doing it straight after class.
Yeah. And for our listeners who are unaware of intro week and everything that goes into organizing it, can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah. So it's definitely not some kind of student-friendly intro week that you have to think of. It's really like four or five fun days of being together, camping, and basically, as the organizational committee, you just had to take care of every second of the day for the group of people you were guiding. So you have the four different courses within the faculty. There were different teams within the organization or within the committee. So you had the food and beverage, you had the people that took care of the finances, and it's really like the aspects you will see if you go to a sport event now as well. So it's all the details you can think of when organizing an event. That was that.
Yeah. So is that also something that you would recommend? Because we spoke about the honors program, and now you're talking about organizing the intro week. Those are extracurricular activities that the program allows you to do, right? Taking advantage of those opportunities. Mm-hmm.
I would say so. Depends a bit on what you want. If you just want to enjoy the student life and Amsterdam as a student, it can be very. Let me rephrase that, because it's a different way of enjoying your student life, right? If you want to have a less active student life, then it's also possible. I think you have to see what your possibilities are and choose what you like to do.
Like you said, follow your gut.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
nice.
So we've talked about your whole career at SMB and everything you learn with it, the mindset, and now your work as a host and as a producer. Is there a part of the job that you really like that you're doing right now?
Something that I like, and it's also connected to SMB, is that during a shoot, I'm directly connected to different leagues, but also certain fans, fan cultures, professional players, amateur players, but also just all the different levels, members of the clubs, users of development programs or federations, other content creators. It's just a huge list I can mention. So the different levels within a sport, or even within the media world, looking at levels from socials to broadcasting, I like to experience the different levels of the sport and to work with people from the different levels and to build that network as well. I think also that building a network is what we are kind of taught within ISMB, use your network, write down your contacts, go abroad and use those new contacts. So it's something I like within my job as well, that I get to meet so many different people and also connected to what I said earlier, learn from others.
So you get to experience these different parts of the sport world through your connections, through these people. You kind of live through them a bit.
Yeah, and you can also in that way see what you like and what you don't like and what gives you energy and what you really don't want to do.
So it was a pleasure to have you here. I hope everyone listening enjoyed it as much as I did, and I'm sure as much as Peter did.
Thank you for having me.
That's all the time we have right now. It's been a blast. And to all our listeners, it's great that you followed along with the Inside Out podcast.
The podcast for and by alumni and current students of the sports study program at the Hogeschool van Amsterdam. Looking back to who you were, but looking forward to who you want to be. Thank you for listening.